Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning, isn't it? A lovely morning. You know, I picked that hymn we sung, "There is Sunshine in My Soul," just before I left the house. And as I stepped outside and was walking down here, I suddenly realized, why, that's a marvelous hymn for today. Because it's a few days since we've had such warm, bright sunshine as we have today. And I just thank the Lord for his providence in picking the hymn for us to sing. I hope there's sunshine in your soul, the light that the Lord Jesus alone can bring to our hearts. Now, Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 1. We're still at that word. We haven't got past it yet. Then, now as I've told you many times, it's an indication of time. If I were to say to you, today, at 3:30, then you're off home for the weekend. You know what I mean. I'm telling you the time. You're going to get out of school and get away home. And here, there's a reference to time. And it points us back to what it is the Saviour has been saying in the previous chapter. And I want us to consider a number of verses. We've mentioned this before, and we haven't really got round to it yet, because other things spring up in my mind and I like to pass them on to you. But I was thinking just last night that the verses I want to look at with you are like stepping stone. Have you ever crossed a river by stepping stone? Have you ever done that? Oh, you don't know what it is to live if you haven't done that. In days gone by, people who wanted to get from one side of a river to the other and didn't have the means of building a bridge, very often would have moved big stones with a flat top into the river and spaced them out across a shallow place in the river, and the top of the stones were above the level, the normal level of the river, and they were able then just to walk from stone to stone across the river. Cheap form of bridge. I remember many a time doing just that. Well, here in chapter 24, we have a number of verses in which the Saviour mentions various activities that will be taking place during the age between his leaving his disciples going up to heaven and his returning from heaven back to earth. That age, the age in which we are living, there are a number of stepping stones that we have here in Matthew chapter 24 by which we just cross right over the whole period of time between the Saviour's departure and his return. I want you to think of these verses in that fashion and see how they carry you across that long period. It's lasted now, what, 2,000 years? And it's going to last a little longer at least. Maybe not too long, but another generation or so anyway. And we have these stepping stones that the Saviour highlights in chapter 24 that carries us across that period of time. Another way in which I could illustrate the nature of these verses is links in a chain. You know what a chain is like. It's just a series of metal loops all joined together. And these verses all join together and stretch from the beginning of this age right to the end. So let's look at these verses and see what it is they say. Verse 6 says this, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, the end is what the disciples are interested in. And God's people have always been interested in. What will it be like at the end, when you come again? What will that be like? Because we know that there are going to be events then, the like of which the world has never seen before. The Lord Jesus is going to show himself. The world says he doesn't exist. There is no Jesus Christ. But we're looking for the day when he will show himself. That's the end that's spoken of here, the coming again of Christ. But the Savior says in the verse 6, but the end is not yet. He's talking about wars and reports. That's what the word rumor means. Reports of wars. He says, don't think that that's the sign of the end. No, it's not. He says, because that's the sign of the whole period in which you live. Because from when I leave you until I return again, there's going to be nothing but wars and rumors of wars. And I've stressed that. I've stressed that to you. The Savior left his disciples somewhere around about AD 33. Well, about 40 years, less than 40 years later, there was the complete overthrow of the nation of Israel by the Romans. They destroyed Israel, and they scattered the survivors in Israel across the whole world, sold them as slaves. Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and Israel as a nation was wiped out, as far as men were concerned. I've said that so many times. Well, that great time of war has continued. For the poor old Jew, he has been in trouble ever since. Persecution has followed persecution. But as well as that, throughout the nations, there has been war, 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 all the time. We need to be very thankful. Although we have seen war here in Ulster with the recent troubles and terrorism, and you know that just a little while ago at the weekend past, there was a policeman nearly murdered by a bomb stuck in under his car, which he drove around with under his car, and it didn't explode. It was meant to explode as soon as the car moved. That's the way it was made. But we are thankful that it didn't explode. The men who made the bomb weren't that good at it. And for that we're glad. And the bomb didn't explode. And somebody spotted it, told the man, and, well, it was dealt with. But it's an act of war. And there is an ongoing war, not to the extent that it has been experienced here in Northern Ireland, but there's an ongoing war here. And it's all over the world. This sea of war, there's reports in the newspapers of the inquiry into the murder by Muslim terrorists in London of quite a number of people. How did they do it? Well, one of them drove a van and knocked down a lot of people and killed a lot of people, and then out of it he jumped along with companions and with knives stabbed others, including a policeman. War! That's the mark of this age. At this moment, there has just ended significant celebrations, both in mainland Britain and over in France, of D-Day, which happened 75 years ago. I'm sure you boys know something of great assembling of troops from all of the Allied nations. Hundreds of thousands of them landed on the shore of France and set out to overthrow Nazi Germany and Hitler's forces. And there were thousands of men killed and thousands of civilians killed in that battle, never mind the rest of the war. War is a feature of this age, boys and girls. Now, men are forever talking about peace. Forever talking about peace. There was a famous British Prime Minister just before the start of the Second World War, Chamberlain by name, and he went over and had a chat with old Hitler, and old Hitler told him a load of baloney and lies and blarney, and the fool believed Hitler, and he came home with a wee piece of paper that Hitler had signed. And when he arrived back in England, he fluttered this little piece of paper above his head and he said, "This means peace in our time." And he has been mocked ever since for that stupid statement. Because Hitler signed that, and all the time his army and his air force and his navy were preparing for war. And shortly after it, the Second World War was launched, which cost the lives of millions. Millions. So as I say, the Savior says, when you hear of war, that's not the sign of the end. Because the whole of the age is going to be marked by war. So that's where we start. There, in verse 6, It's only the beginning of sorrows, he said. And I'd love to take time to spend with you thinking about that word sorrow. You know, the Lord Jesus picks his word so carefully. So carefully. And when he picked that word sorrow, the word links the pain, for it's pain that's spoken of here by this word sorrow. He's linking it to another revelation of the same period. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 8, very important portion. Romans chapter 8, the verse 21 reads, "Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now." Creation has been groaning in pain, Paul says, until now. That's 2,000 years ago, and it continued groaning, and it's groaning still today. And it's the groaning of a creation that knows soon will come a birth, a new age, wherein there will be the blessing of God when Christ returns. So the Savior is pointing out that this age is a time of sorrow and pain and suffering and misery, both for the physical creation, the earth on which we live, and for mankind. That's the way it's going to be throughout the age. It's only the beginning of sorrows, he says, when you hear of these wars and rumors of wars. But as we go on from Matthew chapter 24, the verses 6 through to 8 tells us about nations rising against nation. Then verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then we have in verse 9 the word that we're concentrating upon. That little word then. Here's the first stepping stone. Here's the first stepping stone. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Who's he talking to? His disciples. And he's telling them, here's another mark of this age. Wars and rumors of wars, but as well as that, there will be a hatred manifested toward you. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And that happened to the apostles. I think we can say that all of the apostles, with the exception of John, who died a natural death, all the others died as martyrs, were murdered, and along with them over the years, in that early part of the history of the church, there were tens of thousands of Christians done to death. And there were periods of persecution that saw the cruelest things done to Christians. There was one Roman emperor who used to take Christians and dip them in boiling tar, tie them to stakes, and set them alight as torches to light his banquets. You think of that. How wicked, how devilish was the mind of that man. And those who helped them to do it, and the very atmosphere of that time, that they could treat anyone, their worst enemies, in that fashion. But they were treating good people, gentle people, people who were a benefit to society at that time, God's people. That was the hatred there was toward the gospel, and the Savior's warning of it here. That has continued on. Today, you're sitting here in perfect comfort, with perfect liberty, to come to this school and open your Bible, and on the Lord's Day do the same, and nobody will hinder you. There might be plenty who would like to, but at the present time, you're protected. But there are many places in the world, and Christians have to creep about, not draw attention to themselves, because if they do, they will end up in prison, and maybe far, far worse. So, we come to verse 9. "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and..." This is verse 10, "and shall hate one another." This is one of the results of the persecution. Christian turning against Christian. to get out of being persecuted, they cooperated with the enemy. They cooperated with the enemy, and that happened a million times. It's happened in wartime. You arrest someone and you say, we know that you know who is acting against us, and we want to know who they are. If you don't tell us, we'll kill you, and we'll kill your children, and we'll kill your mother, and your father, and your wife, and everybody belonging to you. But if you tell us the names of those who are acting against us, well, we'll not do that. And out of fear, there are people who offered information. And as it says here, many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. They were turned into traitors. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Here's a period of lethargy, carelessness, indifference, not the fervor that was seen amongst the early Christians when they would have dared to do anything for the Lord Jesus. No, here the Savior says there's a time coming of great indifference. People looking out for themselves and not caring about the cause of God because of the dangers that surround them. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's one of the marks of a Christian today, boys and girls. We have got to endure. Do you ever watch those reports of marathon runners? Oh, everybody's off laughing, looking at everybody and waving and having a great time, but then a mile or two goes past and another mile or two goes past, and when you come to the halfway mark, boy, it's a struggle. And you see it on the faces of those running. They're just enduring. There's plenty of pain involved in it. And they're enduring it, just keeping going. The laughing's done with, the waving, and it's all over now. They're just enduring. And Christianity has sort of entered that stage and more. Christians are not the happy people once they were. And even the best of Christians are just enduring the difficulties, and just keeping going. And there is not the joy, not the freedom, not the liberty that once there was. And this is because of the whole atmosphere that prevails around us. But we're to keep going, the Savior says, for he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's what keeps you going. Under the then that we have at the beginning of verse 10, here's another feature given us in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. The end is drawing near when the gospel is preached unto all nations. That's an important sign. The gospel was not preached unto all nations in the days of the apostles. They covered, I would say, the Roman world, that is the Roman Empire, and perhaps beyond it somewhat. By no means all the world. They didn't get to Australia, many parts of Russia, many parts of Africa, they didn't get to. And because the zeal of the church diminished as time went on, well, the desire to go out as missionaries and preach to other nations diminished as well, so there wasn't the drive to go and bring the gospel into all the nations of the earth. So that even back in the 1800s, you had men suddenly burdened for missionary work, who formed societies and organized supporters and sent out missionaries. So much of the world, even 100, 200 years ago, that had never heard the gospel. The China Inland Mission, the African Mission, even missions to parts of Europe were formed at that time. Because there was a stirring amongst Christians and a realization, you know, there's so many people don't even hear the word of God yet. And I think that what the Savior says here in verse 14, we'll read it again, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end of this age will see the gospel being preached unto all nations. Something that hasn't happened in all the earlier centuries. Do you know something? What I am saying to you today, here in Kilskerry, County Tyrone, is listened to by people in China, by people in Iran, by people in Russia. How do I know? Well, I mount the recordings on the internet, and the site that I use lets me know when somebody tunes in, listens to something that I have said, a recording, or reads an article that I have written and put up on the site, and it tells me from what country that person has come. Doesn't give me any more details, but it tells me from what country that person has tuned in. And I have had, to my amazement, people listening from Arab countries where Muslimism is very strong, and yet there's people tuning in from China where there's persecution against Christians, but they're able by the internet to listen to the gospel. And, I mean, if they're listening to me, then they're listening to far more famous preachers to a far greater degree, but they're listening to the gospel. Physically, I couldn't get to them. I'd be barred from going into those areas. I wouldn't be allowed to go in and preach myself, but my voice reaches them by the internet. And I think today that we can say that the gospel is being preached unto all nations. What does that mean? Well, look at what the Savior says. This is verse 14, chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There's another stepping stone. There's another stepping stone. This stepping stone is very near the far side of the river. We're almost across. Then shall the end come. I'm going to make it a little appeal now. Not just speaking to you directly, but speaking to any who might tune in and listen to what it is we're thinking about today. Anyone from Iran, or Turkey, or Russia, or China, or any of the Asian countries, I'd like them, if they're listening to this, maybe send us an email and say, we were listening, we were listening. It'd be nice to hear from someone. Sometimes I think that because of restrictions in countries, people can't do that. But it would be nice if someone who could do that were to send an email to me and say, we've been listening along with the pupils to these studies in Kilskerry Independent Christian School. Wouldn't that be nice? To think that not only here, but in all parts of the world, the gospel is presently being preached. And the Savior says that's a mark that the end is drawing near. Time's up. We'll leave it there. We haven't finished all the stepping stones, because as you see in the verse 15, it starts when. That's a word that's a sort of a brother or a sister to the word then. When ye therefore shall see. So this is another stepping stone. We'll be looking at it and continuing on this little study the next time we're with you. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and stir up your soul and make you realize the significance of what it is we have been looking at. Let's bow in prayer. We ask Thee, Lord, for Your blessing today upon the school, upon those who are taking exams. We thank Thee for the sunshine of this day. But above all, Lord, we thank Thee for the sunshine of the gospel. A sunshine that can brighten the darkest of days when it's shining in our hearts. Bless the word that has been spoken today, and as we have been thinking, Lord, may there be many in the far-flung corners of the world who listen to what has been said. Bless our school, bless our teachers, and undertake for us one and all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.